It's a big first round win for our Navy SEALs. You want to hear what the judge said about their right to religious freedom in the military. The First Liberty Live app is a great way to follow these conversations. You can download it to your phone or tablet. You can't watch them live on there, but it will let you know when new episodes are released so you can join in and listen in. And you can also share them with your friends online from there, which is kind of cool. Mike Berry is general counsel here at First Liberty Institute. I need to mention he's also a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps Reserve. He served in active duty in Afghanistan just a few years ago. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Stuart.
It's good to see you. The legal term for what happened this week in the Navy SEALs case is preliminary injunction. Interpret that for the rest of us.
Okay, so preliminary injunction, in layman's terms, the first word preliminary indicates that it is, it's not permanent, right? It's not, it's early on in the trial. And then the injunction is when the court orders one or more of the parties to do something or to stop doing something. So in this case, the court entered a preliminary injunction in favor of our clients, the Navy SEALs, ordering the Navy to stop punishing them and stop taking adverse action against them because of their religious objection to the vaccine.
I did a quick read through of the judge's order, and one part that stood out to me was this. He talked about how the Navy's process has 50 steps. When someone files a religious accommodation asking for it to be accommodated concerning the vaccine, is that there's a 50-step process. But what's most striking about that is from the very first step, it presumes it will be a disapproval and goes that way through the entire process.
Well, I would even take it one step further, no pun intended, and say that even before the first step, before that religious accommodation is even submitted, the predetermined outcome is that it will be denied. And the Pentagon so much as admitted this publicly when they said, well, we haven't approved a single religious accommodation from a vaccine in 7 years. So that should, I mean, to me, that told everybody right there, you're never going to get one. And our clients were told the same thing, Stuart.
Yeah.
Many of them, some of them even testified in court that they had been told by their chains of command, you can submit a religious accommodation, sure, you have a right to submit it because the law requires us to allow you to submit it, but it's never going to be approved. So they knew. Everybody who's in the military, who has anything to do with the military and has been part of this religious accommodation process dealing with the vaccine mandate, knows that it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter how many lawyers you hire or what you put in that accommodation request, it's going to be denied. And thankfully, the court, Judge Reed O'Connor, recognized that. The evidence demonstrated that. And he said, I believe his words were, it's all theater. It's yeah. Theater. It's a rubber stamp.
Yeah. Two things I want to note as we talk about this. One is, we know there are a lot of emotions when it comes to whether to get the vaccine or not to get the vaccine. We're not experts on medical stuff. That's not what we do. We're experts in religious freedom law. And that's where we enter this conversation, is what does the law say and what are your rights under the Constitution if you're a person of faith who objects to taking the vaccine? And that's where we enter the conversation. The rest of it, you can make decisions for yourself. You're a smart person, and we trust you with that. The other one is this, Mike. Every time we post about this story, every time we've talked about it here on First Liberty Live or elsewhere, we'll have people ask us variations on the same question. This one's from Sarah, who follows us on Facebook. She says, what does this mean for the other service members who've sought religious accommodation, the fact that the SEALs got this preliminary injunction? What's the impact?
So it's a great question. I've gotten the same question multiple times now. So yeah. Technically, the injunction only applies to First Liberty's clients, these 35 or nearly three dozen Navy SEALs and other special warfare members. All right. So technically, that's all who the only people who the injunction applies to. But that doesn't mean there's not hope for everybody else. We've been encouraging everybody, any service member who submitted a religious accommodation request, right, and you believe, which I believe as well, that the entire process is a sham, it's a predetermined outcome from before step one, just as we discussed,
yeah,
right, you should cite this decision, this preliminary injunction, and say, just as the court pointed out, in First Liberty's Navy SEALs case, I was not given a fair and objective procedure for determining my religious accommodation request. it was a predetermined outcome from the get-go. And the other thing that the court pointed out was, let's say that it wasn't a predetermined outcome, and the Navy or the Department of Defense was actually willing to review these individually, they still haven't approved a single one. They've approved hundreds, possibly thousands of medical exemptions, administrative exemptions, but they haven't approved a single religious exemption. So even if you are getting somebody to actually look at these and take an objective review of your religious accommodation, you should also point out that none of them are being approved. That tells me that there's a religious hostility. There's a bias against religious freedom in our military that's unconstitutional, that's unlawful, and that's exactly what the court said. So again, to answer the question, technically the injunction doesn't apply to anybody other than the people we represent at First Liberty Institute. But everyone else, you should cite this decision and say, I wasn't given a fair shake either, right? And even if I was given a fair shake, the fact that none of these are being approved shows that it's unconstitutional and unlawful.
Very good. The opening section of what District Judge Reed O'Connor out of Fort Worth wrote in his order rang really true with me. So I'd like to read a few passages from it. Just get your read on it, get your reaction to it. Here's the first thing that he opened up with. Our nation asks the men and women in our military to serve, suffer, and sacrifice, but we do not ask them to lay aside their citizenry and give up the very rights they have sworn to protect. That's a thought that we've talked about here on this program and also elsewhere in stuff that you've written. Unpack that for us. What does it mean?
I know, Stuart, that I've come on to First Liberty Live and I've said, just because you serve in the military, you may give up a certain degree of autonomy, but you do not give up your religious freedom. You did not forfeit your constitutional rights just because you wear the uniform of the United States.
And guess who said that first that the judge is alluding to here?
I'm gonna surmise that it's none other than President Washington, that at the time General Washington.
Yep.
Right. And it's funny that we bring up George Washington, right? One of the founders of our nation, all right? Because one of the arguments that I've often heard is, as well, this is the military. It's different, right? Or, okay, so let's address that first. This is the military, it's different. Yes. So George Washington, when he was General Washington, he actually told his troops they have to get the smallpox vaccine because smallpox was rampant at the time. But he recognized that those with natural immunity, he said, but you don't have to, if you get it, the whatever the illness is and you've recovered, you're exempt. So even George Washington recognized exemptions, which our military today is not recognizing, all right? So there's that point. The second point that people make is, but this is a pandemic. This is a health emergency.
Right.
So the normal rules of the Constitution shouldn't apply. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Judge O'Connor addressed that too and said there is no COVID exception to the First Amendment.
We're going to get to that in just a moment.
Okay, then I'll let you go first.
But go ahead with your point.
Oh, well, I mean, my point is, as Judge O'Connor points out, there's no COVID exception to the First Amendment. And let's talk about the First Amendment for a second. From an originalist point of view, the men who wrote the First Amendment, let's put ourselves in their shoes for a second. They were no strangers to plagues, to famines, to wars, to invasions, right? They didn't stop and say, wait a minute, we're about to go to war with Great Britain and King George. Maybe we ought to make an exception to the First Amendment for a time of war. They didn't do that. They could have. They absolutely could have. You don't think that they weren't aware of all the danger that surrounded them, of all the exigencies of the circumstances in which they were in, but they did not want there to be an exception to the First Amendment, so they didn't write one into it. They just said, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, period, right?
No asterisk.
So, yeah, no asterisk, no footnote. That's what it says, and thankfully, we have judges today who still believe in that and who still apply that as it's written.
Judge O'Connor goes on, he writes, the Navy provides a religious accommodation process, but by all accounts, as you quoted earlier, it is theater. The Navy has not granted a religious exemption to any vaccine in recent memory. It merely rubber stamps each denial. And you have proof of that.
We do. We presented that proof to the court, right? We submitted this as evidence to show. And I mean, we didn't even have to do that. The Department of Defense was providing their own evidence because they said publicly, we haven't approved any religious exemptions. Because I mean, obviously, I can't get into their minds. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
But I would guess they somehow thought that this bolstered their case. And they said, we've never approved any religious exemptions. That shows you, right? This is getting into a different issue, a much bigger problem that we've actually discussed on First Liberty Live before, which is we now have officials in our government, in our administration, and in the Pentagon who just show absolutely zero understanding of the Constitution, of basic civics, and how the Constitution applies to the military, because they think that, well, if we've never granted one, then we're just being consistent. That's like saying, well, I've been breaking the law every day of my life, so I should be able to continue breaking the law. That's not how it works in this country.
Yeah.
Maybe in China or North Korea, but not in the United States.
And you've got letters that have been sent to people in the military who ask for a religious accommodation, and they're, for all intents and purposes, identical, which is not what the law asks for. I mean, Congress passed a law saying they have to consider each case individually, correct?
Yes, that's what the law requires, both the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is the federal law that you're referencing, and the First Amendment itself, right? Or at least the cases that apply the First Amendment say that when somebody submits a religious accommodation request, whoever is adjudicating that, whatever the decision maker is, they have to provide an individualized assessment of that request. They can't just offer some blanket, generalized, oh, well, it's in the best interest of the country for me to deny this.
Right.
Those are called broadly formulated interests, right? Because then you could say, well, I mean, we have to make sure the sky doesn't fall, so I have to deny your request. Or others that, to apply it to more of a, you know, what I'm used to seeing is, well, if I grant your request, I have to grant everybody else's. I can't do that. I'm denying your request. No, because then no request would ever be granted, right? You'd be able to use that as an excuse every single time, which is exactly what we're seeing.
Right.
Instead, you're supposed to address each request individually. Now, the naysayers are going to say, well, that's impossible. There have been thousands of these requests. Guess what? I recall specifically, I think I came on First Liberty Live and I said, I predict this is going to be a massive problem for the Pentagon because they simply aren't prepared to deal with the thousands of people in our military who are people of faith, who have religious objections to this vaccine, and who are going to request a religious exemption. And the Pentagon is not equipped to handle that many requests. They maybe normally get a few dozen a year.
Yeah.
And now they're getting thousands within the span of 2 months. It's going to overwhelm their system. And their response, with as every great government bureaucrat does, is going to be, just as Judge O'Connor said, rubber stamp, denied, denied, denied. Why? Because that's the most efficient way for them to handle it.
Here's the conclusion of that opening section, and you've touched on part of this already as well, and I'm quoting here, the Navy service members in this case seek to vindicate the very freedoms they've sacrificed so much to protect. The COVID-19 pandemic provides the government no license to abrogate those freedoms. There is no COVID-19 exception to the First Amendment. There is no military exclusion from our Constitution. I'm not a lawyer, but I think that qualifies as a strongly worded order, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, and it reinforces the point I just made a few minutes ago, which is those serving in our military do not forfeit their religious freedom when they put on the uniform. All right? Just because you're serving, yes, there's some autonomy that you lose, right? Especially if you're deployed.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you give up your constitutional rights. And the other thing that's so important about this decision and this order, I mean, first, there's a couple things. First, it's the first win in the nation, right? But for people in our military against the COVID vaccine. We've seen a number of these lawsuits. Unfortunately, most of them have not been successful. They maybe have enjoyed minimal or very limited success. This is the first one where the plaintiffs got what they were asking for. First Liberty was able to win this case, or this preliminary injunction, I should say,
yeah,
on behalf of our clients. So it was the first major victory, and this should send shockwaves across our nation and across our military. And second, let's talk about what's really at stake here, okay? Because yes, it's about this lawsuit and about the COVID vaccine mandate and about the SEALs, but as we know, these cases are often about much, much more than that.
Yeah.
So I want to put this in context. These 35 Navy SEALs and special warfare operators that we represent collectively have more than 350 years of military experience,
wow.
more than 100 combat deployments. All right, they want to be defending our nation. That's why they feel like that's why they exist.
These aren't troublemakers.
No. And nobody joins the Navy to become a SEAL on accident, okay?
No.
These are people who want to be Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
They want to be doing some of the most dangerous missions that require elite military skills, all right? And they should be fighting for our freedom. They should be fighting to defend our nation. And instead, they're stuck fighting for their careers. And at First Liberty, we are proud to stand beside them and to fight that for them. But it breaks my heart that we even have to do that. They should be out there on the front lines in places of great danger doing what they do best. And instead, they're waiting every single day to find out what's the next punishment that they're going to suffer. And thanks to this victory, they don't have to wait anymore. The court has said the Navy can no longer punish you for your religious beliefs.
So what happens next now as far as the courtroom?
So technically, the ball is now in the government's court, right? They have a certain amount of time to file an appeal if they choose to appeal, or they could not appeal. So it's really a waiting game to see what happens. In the meantime, this preliminary injunction, this order is in full effect. And as I just said, the Navy can no longer take any adverse or punitive actions against them as a result of their religious beliefs. It's a great win for our SEALs. It's a great win for America.
Yeah. And the other encouraging word in that order, and it tends to go with preliminary injunctions, is the judge says that it's likely that the SEALs will win in his courtroom. I mean, that's the inference here is, as he looks at this case, the first look at it, he's thinking these guys are going to win.
That's why preliminary injunctions are so important. Lawyers put a lot of time and effort into preliminary injunctions. I liken them to the first game in a best of three series, not a best of five or best of seven, but really like a best of three.
Yeah.
And you want to come out of the blocks quickly and get that first win. And so this was a first win for First Liberty, and it's a first win for religious freedom. And just as you said, this is a very good indicator of the strength of our case going forward.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add before I let you go?
I know you're going to say it, but I'm going to beat you to it. We couldn't do this without the support of First Liberty supporters and our viewers and subscribers to First Liberty Live. And as everybody knows, we do this, or maybe they don't know, that's why I'm saying it.
Yeah.
We represent these Navy SEALs free of charge. They're never going to receive a bill from us. And I know that they would probably take me out into a back alley and beat me up if I didn't say that they are eternally grateful for everything that everyone who's come to their support has done for them, not just First Liberty, but First Liberty supporters. Look, we probably should have brought this up too. We had friends of the court briefs submitted in this case.
Yeah.
Extremely rare for that to happen at the district court, at the preliminary injunction stage.
Right, the very beginning.
Almost 50 members of Congress. All right, I'll make this point really quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
For a member of Congress to submit a friend of the court brief, their usual policy is they won't do that until it reaches the Supreme Court.
Huh.
And they say, but we'll make, almost every one of them says, I'll make an exception for a case of extreme national importance. I'll make an exception. And nearly 50 of them said, I'm making an exception for this case.
Wow.
Because I recognize this case is of extreme national importance, not just for our Constitution, but for our military and our national security. So that should tell you how big of a deal this case really is.
Very good. Well, you said it way better than I could, and I appreciate that. You make my job easier. And I doubt there are very many people that could drag you into an alley and beat you up. But that group of guys could. I'm pretty sure they could take you out. Hey, given the big news this week, we had to delay our guest that we had scheduled for this week, and that is Kenny Vaughn. Mike's also working on that case. So next week, we'll have an interview with Kenny and give you an update on the Shields of Strength case. We just filed suit in that one, so we let you know what's going on and what's expected to happen next. We will see you next week right here on First Liberty Live.